Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's the 13th of December. My name is Brian. Good to be here with you today. And as I've been saying, we're kind of blasting through, and I don't think that's the right word because I don't think we're blasting through other than that we are in time. We're being rapidly through the minor prophets, and we were moving through some of the smaller letters in the New Testament. We're in Revelation now, where we'll be for the rest of the year. But today, we begin the book of Obadiah. And we actually begin and end it. It's 21 verses long, making it the shortest book in the Old Testament. And yet, it deals with a very long-running family issue. So contained in this one chapter is a prophecy of the complete destruction and doom of the Edomites. And if we remember back in the beginning of our adventure through the Bible, all the way back, remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob's descendants became the children of Israel. Esau's descendants became the Edomites. And they were forever in conflict. When God delivered the children of Israel from slavery and bondage in Egypt, the Edomites wouldn't allow them to pass through their land on the way to the Promised Land. At other points in history, when Israel was being attacked and overrun, the Edomites stood by, silent. And God reached the end of his patience, and through the prophet Obadiah predicts their utter destruction. We have good application for this today, too, for although we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and have been made children of God, therefore making us all family, all too often we see brothers and sisters at war with one another, or standing by silently as brothers and sisters are destroyed before our eyes. Perhaps they're getting what they deserve in our judgment. The book of Obadiah shows a very clear picture of how God feels about this. So the book of Obadiah from the Amplified Bible. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent forth among the nations, saying, "Arise, and let us rise up against Edom for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations, Edom. You shall be despised exceedingly. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you dweller in the refuges of the rock, Petra, Edom's capital, whose habitation is high, who says in his heart, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you mount on high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, how you are brought to nothing. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some grapes for the gleaning? But this ravaging was done by God, not men. How are the things of Esau, Edom, searched out? How are his hidden treasures sought out? All the men of your confederacy, your allies, have wrought you on your way, even to the border. The men who were at peace with you have deceived you and prevailed against you. They who eat your bread have laid a snare under you. There is no understanding in Edom or of it. Will not I in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom, and men of understanding out of Mount Esau, Idumea, a mountainous region? And your mighty man, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. For the violence you did against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof from your brother Jacob, on the day that strangers took captive his forces and carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were even as one of them. But you should not have gloated over your brother's day. the day when his misfortune came and he was made a stranger. You should not have rejoiced over the sons of Judah in the day of their ruin. You should not have spoken arrogantly in the day of their distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity and ruin. Yes, you should not have looked with delight on their misery in the day of their calamity and ruin, and not have reached after their army and their possessions in the day of their calamity and ruin. And you should not have stood at the crossway to cut off those of Judah who escaped. Neither should you have delivered up those of Judah who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your dealings will return upon your own head. For as you, Edom, have drunk upon the mountain of my holiness, desecrating it in the wild revelry of the destroyers, so shall all the nations drink continually in turn of my wrath. Yes, they shall drink, talk foolishly, and swallow down the full measure of punishment, and they shall be destroyed as though they had not been. But on Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance for those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess its own former possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle and burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. They of the south, the Negeb, shall possess Mount Esau, and they of the lowland, the land of the Philistines, they shall possess the land of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead across the Jordan River. And the exiles of this host of the children of Israel, who are among the Canaanites, shall possess Phoenicia as far as Zarephath. And the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Zarephath shall possess the cities of the south, the Negeb. And deliverers shall go up on Mount Zion to rule and judge Mount Esau. And the kingdom and the kingship shall be the Lord's. Revelation 4:1-11. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future." At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on a throne. And he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness of jasper and the fiery sardius. And encircling the throne, there was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emerald. 24 other thrones surrounded the throne, and seated on these thrones were 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, arrayed in white clothing, with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. And in front of the throne there was also what looked like a transparent glassy sea, as if of crystal. And around the throne in the center at each side of the throne were four living creatures, beings, who were full of eyes in front and behind, with intelligence as to what is before and at the rear of them. The first living creature, being, was like a lion. The second living creature, like an ox. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, individually having six wings, were full of eyes all over and within, underneath their wings. And day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who was, and who is and who is to come. And whenever the living creatures offer glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, through the eternities of the eternities, the 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, fall prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they throw down their crowns before the throne, crying out, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion, for you created all things. By your will they were brought into being and were created." Psalm 132, 1 through 18. A Song of Ascents. Lord, earnestly remember to David's credit all his humiliations and hardships and endurance, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "Surely I will not enter my dwelling house or get into my bed. I will not permit my eyes to sleep or my eyelids to slumber until I have found a place for the Lord, a habitation for the Mighty One of Jacob." Behold, at Ephrathah, we first heard of the discovered ark. We found it in the fields of the wood at Kiriath Jearim. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark, the symbol of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, right living and right standing with God. And let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, turn not away the face of your anointed, and reject not your own king. The Lord swore to David in truth. He will not turn back from it. One of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever, says the Lord. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will surely and abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests also will I clothe with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make a horn spring forth and bud for David. I have ordained and prepared a lamp for my anointed, fulfilling the promises of old. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Proverbs 29, 24 and 25. Whoever is partner with a thief hates his own life. He falls under the curse pronounced upon him who knows who the thief is, but discloses nothing. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on, trusts in, and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe and set on high. I don't know if you noticed that last little proverb. It's again true to form with all the other proverbs, right? The ones that just say in a sentence something that can fillet you, you know, lay you wide open, where there's no place to run or hide. And this little sentence here, well, it says a lot more than you might think. The fear of man brings a snare. Now stop and think about this for a minute. How many decisions do we make on a daily weekly, monthly, yearly basis based upon the fear of man. I mean, seriously, this manifests itself in all sorts of ways. Maybe we're afraid to live as we truly believe in the workplace because of the repercussions of how it might throw us to the sidelines. Maybe we'll be overlooked for certain promotions or whatever. And I don't mean that you walk in with a 1,000-pound Bible in a wheelbarrow. I'm just talking about the ways that we subtly conform. We laugh at this. We follow along with that. We keep silent when something unethical that's a little questionable flies by. We just go with the flow so as to be basically nondescript. We don't want to stand out, which basically takes away any possibility of us ever being outstanding. Maybe it's the fear of pressing into our marriage. Maybe we don't want to press into issues with our spouse, that if we could find the end of those, if we could find what it is that's causing the hang-ups and work together through it, we could have a much more fulfilling, intimate relationship, but we don't want to press in because it would rock the boat. Maybe we won't jump out there into faith because of what the family might say. They might say we've gone off the religious deep end and are acting irresponsibly when we try to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It can show up in any number of ways, and you'd be surprised. I mean, sincerely, give it some thought today. How many of our decisions ultimately base themselves in fear of man? We care a lot about what people think. A lot more than we'd care to admit. We care how we are perceived. We craft this whole personality that we present to the world so that we will be perceived as a certain kind of person. But the thing is, we have an inner monologue. We have an inner life. How different is your inner life from your outer life? That'll give you a pretty good indicator of what your fear of man looks like. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever leans on and trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe. Safe. Safe and set on high. So what would life be like if we didn't care what anyone thought? Now, I don't mean that in an obnoxious sort of arrogant way. I mean, what kind of freedom would come if we were so deeply in love with Jesus? The relationship was so thriving and intimate that everything else paled in comparison. And so what someone might think about what our lives look like, we know that we are walking with God. And so it really just doesn't matter anymore. And think about when you met your love. Maybe it's your spouse now. Maybe there are some people that were like, you know, I don't know about all that. We're losing our friend. He's in love now. He just didn't care anymore, right? He just did not care. Everything revolved around this person you lived and breathed and dreamed and slept and thought about and considered a future with. This person. You thought down the road to when you were old together. You thought of raising a family together. You walked in the rain together. It just didn't matter anymore. Time stood still. You just didn't care what anyone else thought with that person. What if a relationship with God could look like that? What kind of freedom would we have? to risk whatever it took to be with God. Wouldn't that be freeing? When we put that kind of confidence in the Lord, we're safe and set on high, according to the scripture. And so, Father God, we come before you knowing that that's the kind of freedom you are inviting us into. This is what you have given to us. You came that we might have life, and that that life would be abundant. In the West, we a lot of times think about stuff when we think about abundance. We think about abundance of things. Bank accounts, possessions, security. But the life you've invited us into is one that is carefree. We are allowed to cast our cares on you because you care for us. You take care of us. And so you are inviting us away from fearing what people think, what people might do, the fear of man. Well, it's one of those sinister little things under the surface that we don't consider a lot, but really rules large, spacious portions of our lives. We want to be free from it. Holy Spirit, come. Expose these areas in us where we are bound and set us free in the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask. And we look to you where we can find safety. Our confidence is in you, Lord. We declare this in the name of Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. And come get involved in whatever way that you can. I didn't tell you this at the beginning. I thought if I started talking about it, I might talk too long, and I didn't want to talk 5 minutes at the beginning. Because we had Obadiah we needed to talk about. So I am sitting here looking out over snow-covered rolling hills of Tennessee. Started snowing yesterday morning, and it's been snowing, and it got cold. I was talking to some friends yesterday, and they said, no, this happened in 2002 or 2003. I can't remember it. I don't remember another December snow in all of the years that I've lived in Tennessee, which is most of my life. And we don't get a lot of snow here. So I know that there are, you know, a lot of you that are very, very used to snow. You don't like snow. It's not novel. Here in Tennessee, we just don't get a lot of snow. And when the snow covers the hills, everything gets quiet, right? It's like insulating the earth. So things start to quiet down, to slow down. Not as many people out. And it's just lovely. Wish it would stay till Christmas. We've never had a white Christmas in all the years that I've been here. It's just been beautiful. Maybe I can take some pictures and put them on Flickr. If I can remember. We've been working at the cafe with Brett, who's here from Baltimore. He leaves this evening. And he has whipped this wind farm cafe into shape. I am so stoked. You have no idea how wired on sugar and caffeine I am, though. Oh, my goodness. For the last 2 days, I have drank so many coffee drinks. I have just been buzzed on caffeine like never before. And the interesting thing about caffeine and sugar is that, man, when you come down from that, you are done. I was preparing for some things at church at Four Winds service yesterday morning, the night before. So this would be Saturday night, the first day that Brett showed up, and I had had 8 shots of espresso in an hour. So I was just bouncing off the walls. I mean, to the point where you start getting sick because everything is shaking slowly inside, and not slowly but fastly inside. Everything just seems to be shaking. And anyway, man, when you come down off that, you just crash hard. And so I just was preparing for church and all of a sudden it was like, good night, everybody. I can't think another thought. So that's what the last couple of days have looked like. But man, we're there. So we're going to practice the rest of the week, then get some training on the cash register system this weekend and maybe and open sometime next week. And that won't necessarily be an announced grand opening date. We'll probably have to just announce a grand opening date after the holidays and stuff. But it's here. I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it. We've got bugs to work out, but this is it. And everything's been well documented. We got a model here. It's just a beautiful thing to watch God speak and to obey. And that deeply goes back to the proverb. I mean, the fear of man has been something that once I realized how much that affected my life and it exposed itself, it was horrifying, to be honest. But the last few years, just living in the Bible every day, it's changed the way I look at the world. That's part of my personal testimony. You get to the point where you're like, I want God. I mean, that's what I want. That's really what I want. I want His will. I want to go where He wants me to go. I don't care what that looks like. It's not my problem. The rest of life is not my problem. So if that means risk it all, and that's what He's saying, then that's what it means. It's all His anyway. He can do with and through us whatever we will allow. And it's remarkable what He can do with people who are willing to just do what He says. So I'm pretty excited about the core of believers here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, who are launching this Wind Farm Cafe and who have made this cafe a mission field. So then everyone who walks through that door is somebody that we are supposed to touch for the cause of Christ, one way or the other. So thank you for your continued prayers, because I believe this is the beginning of something. Thank you for your prayers. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at the website. There's a link on the homepage, take you through the process. The mailing address, if that's your preference, is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And then, as always, 877-942-4253 is the number to call if you have a prayer request or something to share. I love you all. I'm going to go probably get frozen and cold with the kiddos. It's funny to watch Max try to make snow angels with a broken arm. He was like, Dad, why couldn't I have broken my arm in January? You know, after the snow's gone, why did this have to happen? And he came up with the idea. I know I have a broken arm. It's so funny to listen to him reason things out, like try to negotiate. I know I have a broken arm. But it's in this cast, and that this cast is all hard, so, you know, it's protecting my arm. So I was thinking I could probably maybe just take the wheels off of my skateboard and I could just, you know, I could just go down the driveway on the ice. And I think that would be okay. No, Max, that probably wouldn't be okay at all. Well, how about if I just sit down then? No, Max. I think you probably need to just let your arm heal. That would be the best thing. Aw, man. There, that's the conversation I had with Max a little while ago. Well, lest I ramble and ramble and ramble, I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Bo in Texas. I'm requesting prayer for my mother. She's having heart surgery Tuesday, and she's also been having internal bleeding. I know that God can heal her. I pray that he heals her physical body for the glory of God. I thank you for your prayers. I appreciate them. Y'all have been there for me, and I appreciate that. And more importantly, God has been there for me and my family. I thank him and give him all the glory. Thank you, and I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and Brian. I am so grateful and so thankful for the body. My name is Karen, and I am just calling to, first off, thank you for prayer support, and to request prayers for my precious husband, Colin, who has not yet received Christ as his Savior, but who soon will. That is my prayer for my family, my household. Thank you so much. What a beautiful body Christ has created and that he is strengthening across the world through prayer and through fellowship like this. Thank you so much. God's greatest blessings.